Randy Fudge has been my friend since I was 11 years old. And he tried to intimidate me as a college student in a Bible quiz match. Kept looking over at us, glaring at us. Lisa and I, my sister Lisa's here from Pennsylvania. Yeah, and he tried to scare us, but it didn't work. But I'm sad I never got to Ireland when you were there. That's my fault. But I'm glad you're here to open the Word to us today. Randy, come on up.
Thank you. That was just a few years ago. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I want to begin today by saying that it is a real honor to be with you this morning. And I mean that. I know missionaries are supposed to tell you those kind of things and thank you for your prayers. And I do thank you for your prayers. And I can tell you that over the years, we sense God's people praying for us when we're going through difficult times. But when we're going through good times, we don't sense them as much. Maybe that's because you're all praying that much more. But we do thank you for your prayers and for the financial gifts that this church has given to us over the 24 years that we've been overseas. Seems like just yesterday we were coming to La Porte Missionary Church and they were having a barbecue after church. It's back when Bud Walderhouse was your pastor, and we were coming and we were sharing the vision that we felt God was calling us to Nigeria for 2 years and asking this church to support us both with your prayers and your finances. And then 2 years turned into 4 in Nigeria, and then we ran out of missionary church kids, and then they said, would you move over to the Ivory Coast? And we moved over to the Ivory Coast for you French speakers, Cote d'Ivoire. And we were there for starting our third year. And in that third year, the Civil War broke out. And we were evacuated home. And then they gave us all these options of countries for us to go to. And the first country they gave us to think about was Afghanistan. And I quickly said, I didn't even pray. I did not even pray. I'm being honest with you. I said, I'm not going to go from one war zone into another war zone. They wanted us to coordinate small groups that were going to be going to Afghanistan. They gave us this long list of countries, and they involved learning another language. We learned French. That was hard enough. Vietnam, to learn Vietnamese. Nah, that didn't appeal. And we could have went to another West African country. We could have went to Guinea, and my wife would have been the field treasurer and bookkeeper. But they said to me, we have no idea what you would do. And I said, well, okay. So we didn't go there. But anyway, at the end of the list was Ireland. And they said, would you go begin a new work in Ireland? And I said, well, what are we going to do there? And they said, well, we're not sure, but you'll make connections and you'll figure it out. That was the direction we got. So I went on a fact-finding mission with a few other people and met some of the leaders of the Irish church and asked them, do you still want missionaries? And they said, yes, we do. And I said, do you still want Americans? What's your relationship with America? So, oh, we love America. So anyway, we were off to Ireland. And on the third day, we wandered across the inner city mission in Dublin. And we were involved with them most of our entire time of our ministry there. So as Steve said, this is my 40th year of ministry with the Missionary Church. I know I don't look that old, but 40 years has gone extremely fast. You look back and you wonder, where did the time go? You know, it was just yesterday that I was going to CDYC as a student, and I was doing all the things that I like to do, and meeting new friends, and all kinds of things, and being very, very active, and now I'm in my 60s, and life's moving a little bit slower for us. There are things that I'd still like to do that I'm not able to do. And I'll share a little bit more about that as we get going. But this church also brings back a lot of memories for my wife and her family. When we came to speak on that first time we visited, and when you had the barbecue, Carolyn's parents came along. And they used to attend La Porte Missionary Church back during World War II. Her father was stationed at Westville and was there
in the 50s.
Okay, but not World War II. In the 50s, but they made some strong connections here. So LaPorte has a fond memory, and I did not try to intimidate your Bible quizzers. I was a nice guy. If anybody was going to intimidate LaPorte, it was a guy named Jeff Pepple, because he has a scowl. He'd look over there and he'd stare at him. But I thought it was great being a college student and being able to quiz with junior high students. And junior high students can learn the Bible just as well as a college student. But I would like to give a tribute to Bible quizzing before I get started, because it was there that I began to learn to love the Word of God and to put it in my heart and to study it and to read it. And I try every day to spend some time reading the Scriptures and to praying. And doesn't happen every day. Some days I just don't make it. But most days I'll read some portions of God's Word. So this morning, I want to share with you a message called Running the Race of Life. But before we actually get into the actual message, when I came home in September, we came home September the 4th, and we got back into the States and eventually made our way down to Bern on the 7th of September, which was my birthday. We wanted to move back into our house in Bern on my birthday. So we did that. But I've had these themes in my mind. What do I want to share with the churches as we go around? We're kind of calling this our farewell tour. But don't worry, there's no t-shirts or hats or anything like that. But different themes kept going through my mind. And the first theme was obviously thankfulness. Thankfulness for the relationships that we've been able to build through the years with each and every one of our supporting churches. We've had a relationship with LaPorte from May of 1995 is when we came here that first Sunday. And 3 months later, the first weekend of August, we were in Nigeria. But this church has prayed for us and has given money for us and has encouraged us and sent us cards. A few years ago, we thought there was going to be a team that was going to come out, but that didn't work out. But, you know, you can still go visit Ireland, Steve, and maybe I could go along, but I could be your tour guide. But thankfulness. Thankful, first of all, that God called me into His kingdom. When I was a 16-year-old kid at Northside Missionary Church, I sat way in the back. And one Sunday evening, I don't know if you have Sunday evenings here or not anymore, but most people don't. One Sunday evening, our pastor spoke about hell. And I realize today that that's not politically correct to speak about hell. But you know what? Somehow I'll work it into my message later. But our pastor spoke about hell, and I knew I didn't want to go there. And I prayed and asked Jesus into my heart. And I'm thankful that God called me into ministry. And here's my plug for LaPorte Missionary Church and every other church I'm going around to. When the Galloways retire someday, and they will retire someday, make sure you call your next pastor. Don't hire a pastor. Because today, a lot of pastors, they want to be CEOs. They want to be 9-to-5ers. Make sure that your pastor is called, that the calling of God is upon their life and their heart. It's their heartbeat. Would you do that, church? Make sure you remember that. I'm thankful that God called me. I was going to go to Indiana University, and I was going to be a journalism major, and I was going to be a sports writer or a sports broadcaster. And my youth pastor came to me and said, "Why don't you go to Fort Wayne Bible College for a year and get a year of Bible?" And I thought, that's a good idea, so I'll do that. So I went to the Bible college, and it was there in my freshman year during a chapel service that we were challenged to ministry. And for the first time in my life, I felt God calling me to be a minister, to share the good news as my profession. And then after my sophomore year at the Bible college, I went to prayer camp, and I went to prayer camp, and they had a film. They had a film at prayer camp. Now, if you're old, when G.G. Juan was district superintendent, we didn't have films at prayer camp, but we had a film. and it was entitled Sheffy, and it was about a circuit riding preacher. And after the film was done, the call went out for those that are feeling God to call them into full-time ministry to go forward. And I knew God was talking to me, and I knew God wanted me to do that. So I'm thankful that he called me to be a minister of God. The second thing that went racing through my mind, though, was, and we sang great songs today about there's power in the blood. I want people to know and to remember that it's because of Jesus shed blood upon the cross that we have everything in life. We have everything we do, anything we do. It's because of the blood of Christ. Our purpose, our fulfillment, our goals. You fill in the words. None of that would be there without the shed blood of Christ, because there's power in the blood. If you stay for Sunday school, we're going to show a little video, and the first song that's on there, going through our Africa days, is There's Power in the Blood. It's in another language, but you'll recognize the tune. Another theme that went through my mind was finishing well. We want to finish well. We want to finish with good relationships with the people we're ministering with. We want to finish good relationships with the people we're ministering to. We want to finish with good relationships for everybody that we've came associated with in Ireland in the last 15 years. We want to finish well, and we did. I believe we finished well, and they gave us a going away party, and probably about 120 people came to say thank you for the time we had in Ireland. I tell you what, that was very humbling. And one of the things about kidney disease, if you have it or you know somebody that does, is that it tends to make people very emotional. So I'm just going to tell you up front, if I cry today, that's just the way it is. But it was very humbling, and we were overwhelmed by what the people did. And then the last theme, of course, is the theme we're going to talk about this morning, and that's running the race. The passage of Scripture was read for us earlier out of 1 Corinthians chapter 9. It's my favorite passage of Scripture in the Bible, and it's my favorite passage of Scripture for two reasons. Number one, it talks about sports. Okay? And I'm still a sports junkie. Okay? I love sports. I love any kind of a sport. You name it, I've probably done it, and I probably watch it. I even watch curling during the Winter Olympics. And I've learned by living in Europe to even watch cricket. I don't understand it, but I'll watch it. But this passage of Scripture Paul's talking about here, he talks about racing. Now, you look at my body, I am not a runner. Okay? How many of you, be honest with me, how many of you have been runners? Oh, you have a congregation of runners. Okay. My first day of basketball practice at Fort Wayne Bible College, Coach Morley said, all you need is a t-shirt, a pair of shorts, and gym shoes. We'll meet out on Rudisill Boulevard. Okay, great. We met out on Rudisill Boulevard, and he says, okay, here's what you're going to do. You're going to run down Rudisill Boulevard. You're going to run around Foster Park two times and run back up Rudisill Boulevard 5 miles. I'd never run 5 miles in my life. In fact, I don't even sure if I ran 1 mile before that. But I ran that 5 miles. I didn't finish last. I finished next to last. But I finished. And then he said, let's go down to the lower area behind the admin building, down by the library, and we're going to run more. And we ran sprints. And I thought I was going to die. But racing is not my forte. But Paul uses this illustration here, running the race of life. So this morning, I want to share three points. And they're not deep brain points, okay? But they're points from this passage of Scripture. And the second reason that I chose this portion of Scripture, that it's my favorite, is because when I preached in preaching contest one summer for MiFi, for you that can remember what MiFi was, okay? I used this passage of Scripture, and they told me, oh, you're never going to win. Back in those days, only two people got, you know, prizes. There's this kid from Zion, Illinois, and he wins every year. He wins the preaching every year. And then there's this kid from First Missionary Church in Fort Wayne, and he always finishes second. Well, I'm like a bull. When you tell me I can't do something, I'll find a way to get it done. And so I prepared the sermon and I preached, and you know what? I won. But I also used this passage of scripture for the first time. I was preaching in principles of preaching class at the Bible college. We had to use some kind of demonstration when we were doing a sermon. In fact, we practiced all kinds of things. We practiced funerals down in the basement of the girls' dormitory. We had a real coffin, and we practiced funerals. Yeah, that's true. It's a true story. Practiced weddings, practiced the whole shebang. And so I really like this passage of Scripture. But there's three things here I want to share that Paul talks to us about. And number one, now we're getting into the sermon. You ready? Okay. Number one, everyone competes in life. Everybody competes in life. We get up every morning, we strap on some clothes, and we do life. We go to work, or we mind our house, or we go see friends, or we have appointments. We do various things. We do life. Now, we do life in different ways. I don't know what you do every day. You don't know what I do every day. My day involves now something new because we've adopted an English bulldog from a bulldog rescue. And so we get up every morning and we take the dog for a walk. My wife did that today, though. We take the dog for a walk. And then we have to take care of this animal. And it's a beautiful, gorgeous animal. I'll show you pictures if you want afterwards. But everyone competes. In a race, it says, all the runners run. Everybody runs. I don't really like racing, but I'll watch a marathon, especially the big ones on television, and all those people, the thousands of people that are running a marathon. And you notice that they never knock each other over? I mean, thousands. Sometimes they do, but not very often. But all the runners run. They have a destination, and they go about running that race. Well, everybody does life, like I said. Everybody gets up, and we do different things. Tomorrow, I'm going to get up. I'm going to go over to my mother-in-law's. We're going to have lunch, and then we're going to head back on the road and go home to Bern. And you guys are all going to do different things as well. We have different styles, different developments, different techniques, different decision-making, different priorities. But we all do life. And that's what Paul says here. He says, in a race, all the runners run. But then he says, but only one gets the prize. Run in such a way as to get the prize. You see, number two, not only do we all run and we all compete, but number two, everyone makes choices. Everyone makes choices. What choices do we make? Well, we make the choice of how do we do life? What do we include in our life? And Paul's talking about other things here, though. He says, everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. We have to make the choice whether or not to train. Athletes make the choice on whether or not to train. Now, I've only been home for 2 months in the States, but I'll tell you what, I've gone to my fair share of athletic events in 2 months, and I notice a new trend amongst high school students especially. And it's a trend that I don't like. I don't know if it shows that I'm old or old-fashioned or whatever, but, you know, high school athletes today are a different breed. If they can't start, they won't play. It's like going to the park and having a ball there and sharing your ball with everybody. And if you can't play, you take your ball and you go home. Well, in Adams County, Indiana, which I can reference because that's where I live, We have a lot of high school kids. If they're not the star, they're not going to play. And you know why they're not going to play? Because their parents are telling them not to play. I was the 12th guy on a team of 12 people at the Bible college, and I thought that was the cat's meow. I thought that was great. I could go to practice every day and sweat just like everybody else, and I could put that uniform on, though, and I might get in the game for a little bit. I remember one year, I think it was my freshman year, I got in the game against Bethel. 2 seconds. 2 seconds. I think we were getting beat by probably 40 or 50 points. But 2 seconds. But I got more time as years went on. But I thought that was great. Man, high school kids in our county at least, if you don't like going to one school, that's okay. Just go up the road and go to another one. What is that teaching our young people? But we make choices, don't we? We make choices. Athletes make choices whether or not to train. They make choices on whether or not they want to improve or get better. You know, I always wanted to get better. I wasn't satisfied by just being okay. You know, I was one of those guys that would spend extra time in the gym every chance I got. We had chapel every single day at the Bible college. Steve never went, but I went every single day. But, we had chapel every single day, and right after chapel, we had 30 minutes where there was no classes. And so I'd go in the gym, and we'd be playing basketball for 30 minutes. Then we'd go to our classes, and we'd all stink, and everyone else would sit up far away from us. But we made the choice whether or not to improve. Well, I believe Paul is using this whole passage to teach us about Christianity. Do we want to improve as Christians? Do we want to be better Christians? Is that such a term? Can we be better Christians? You know, Jesus saves us, and I think we're saved at that moment, but we can decide to serve Him better. We can decide to give Him everything in our life and want to be able to share with others in a better way. And that comes through reading the Scriptures. It comes through praying. It comes through doing something that you're all doing today. You've all joined together in corporate worship. I work with a number of young adults in Ireland. You never get them to church. They give their hearts to Jesus, and they say they love Him, but they will never go to church. We're not going to church. The church lied to us. The church was bad for us. And they just won't attend. Now, if we have our own gathering of our people in town, they'll come. They'll be there, but they won't go to church. So by reading the Bible and praying and by going to church and listening to other Christians, I think we fulfill what's said here. We go into training so that we will get a crown that will last. You know, I could go in my barn. We live in a farmhouse, and we have stuff in a barn that's been there for over 20 years. And I've got ribbons, and I've got trophies that are sitting in my barn. And they're just up there collecting mold and whatever you get when your stuff's in a barn. But you know what? It's great as an athlete when you win something. But it's going to fade. But as Christians, when we run the race of life and we live for Jesus every single day, we're going to get a crown that's going to last forever. Forever. I've had a number of friends in the last 2 years who've gone on to eternity in heaven. And I'm thankful for their lives, and I'm thankful for their testimonies that they ran the race well. How are you guys doing? Are you running the race well? Are you competing? Are you training? Somebody here today, it's probably some people here today, you don't have no clue as to what I'm talking about because you haven't started the race yet. You're kind of checking out the church, checking out Christianity. Maybe you're asking questions. Maybe you're investigating. That's okay. But we want you to start that race. We want you to start that relationship with Christ. Some of you are probably just getting started. Maybe you've been Christians for less than 10 years. And your race is just starting. You're starting to develop as Christians. You're starting to grow. You're starting to understand what the scriptures are saying. You're starting to really enjoy being around God's people. And then there's a lot of us here. I see a lot of gray hair like myself. We're well down the road in our race. But we have to keep racing. We have to keep wanting to improve for Christ so that we can be effective. You know, our overseas ministry is coming to an end. That doesn't mean my ministry is coming to an end. I'm praying that God gives me some young men that I can pour my life into and burn. I have a couple guys that I'm talking with already. But you know, when you're a pastor, when you're a preacher, when you're a missionary, when you're a Christian, you might retire from your official ministry, but you don't retire as Christians. Amen? Oh, that was a great response. In some churches we get, you only hear a little mumbling. That was great. That was fun. Did you hear that, Carl?
Yeah.
Okay. You don't retire from ministry. We want to get better at life. We want to get better at living. We want to get better at living for Christ. Well, with our young adults in Ireland in this category, I'm making choices. Some of them, I have two categories for them. The first category is those people who have decided they want to improve their lives. And the second category is those who have given their lives to Christ and they want to become better Christians. So I'm going to share a couple of those right now. In category number one, there's a young lady named Kim. And we've had Kim since she's probably in fourth grade. And she came to our Bible clubs and she came to our summer camps. And along the way, Kim also prayed to ask Jesus into her life, and she's not really done anything with it. But she decided that she was going to go to university. And she went to university and she got a degree. And now she is working full time with an after school club in the city that's kind of like the Boys and Girls Clubs. And she's helping kids from the inner city doing their homework and helping them to develop life skills and that kind of thing. And so Kim falls in that first category. There's also a guy named Darren in that first category. Now, Darren is a good-looking Irish guy. He's got the full package. And he works for Guinness. I don't want to offend anybody. He works for Guinness. But he's kind of like a poster boy for Guinness. His face is on the sides of buses. His face is on the bus stops. His face is all over the place. And he represents Guinness around the world. And Darren comes from the flats, the subsidized housing area that we worked with. And Darren decided he wanted to get a job. Now, all these kids I'm talking about are kids whose parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, they've never worked. They've just gotten money off of the government. And these are young adults now who we worked with for the whole 15 years who have decided they want to contribute to society. Now, I don't know if that does anything for you, but every time I say that, it's like, wow. I can't believe they're trying to break that stronghold that's in their community. There's another guy named Tony. Tony has mild autism. And Tony is a guy who, he has to be right in your face, okay? And literally, right in your face. And you can talk to Tony. And Tony loves the Lord, too. He should be in both categories. But Tony goes to his church. And we never thought Tony could work. Okay, never, because he got a job. He works in a grocery store. He works in the freezer department. He brings the stuff out from the big freezer and puts it in the freezers for the people to shop. And he does it all day long. Now, if you ask Tony, when you're filling those freezers, could you go over and bring back a six-pack of Diet 7-Up for the break room? He couldn't do it. Tony can do one thing at a time. But you know what? He does it well. He does it well. And Tony has broken the cycle in his neighborhood. He's from a really tough neighborhood, and he's decided he wanted to get a job. Well, then the last one I'm going to talk about in this first category is a guy named Gary. Gary grew up in the flats. He grew up through our clubs. Gary gave his heart to the Lord one summer at a camp. And Gary always said that he wanted to work. He wanted to get a job. So he got a job in a restaurant. A hotel, a five-star hotel. And he started out in their restaurant. He filled people's water cups. And then he washed dishes. And he worked his way up. He became a waiter. And then he became a head waiter. And about a month ago now, since we've been home, he put a post on Facebook and he said, "I got myself a suit job." He says, "I've always wanted a suit job. I'm going suit shopping." Well, Gary got promoted, and he is the manager of the restaurant at the top of the hotel. And he's moved up, and Gary's a suit man. So I thought, good for him. That second category of kids who have given their lives to Christ, Tony's in that list. I already shared about him. But then there's a guy named Aaron. Aaron was one of the first people we met when we walked into the mission on that third day in the country. He was playing basketball, and so naturally struck up a conversation. Aaron now is married. He married a German girl who came over to Ireland for a couple years. And they live back in Germany now, and they have a beautiful little girl who's about 2 years old. Aaron speaks fluent German, and he's teaching kindergarten in Hamburg, Germany, in a Lutheran Christian school. In the second list, there's a girl named Shannon. Shannon grew up in a Christian home, her parents went through an ugly divorce, and this last year, Shannon was my boss. I was teaching Youth Alpha in two boys' schools. I absolutely love that. The boys ask great questions. If you're not familiar what Youth Alpha is, come up and ask me later. I'll talk more about that in Sunday school. But we had Shannon in Sunday school in the church we were attending. And then last year, Shannon turned out to be my boss. How's that? Last one I'll talk about in this category, and then we'll move on, is a guy named Gavin. Gavin is a super, super talented believer. Gavin and I have had a relationship the whole time we've been in Ireland. We were his Sunday school teacher as well. And Gavin went to Trinity College, got a law degree. While he was at Trinity College, he was the president of the Student Union, which was the Christian union group on the university campus. And one day he called me, all excited. Now, you have to remember, they all call me Fudge. Right? So he says, "Fudge, he says, you're not going to believe it. He says, I met one of your guys." I said, "You met one of my guys?" "Yeah, I met Bill Craig. Do you know Bill Craig? Bill Craig goes to the missionary church." Couldn't believe it. "Do you know Bill Craig?" Okay. Bill Craig came to Ireland, and he traveled throughout the country debating atheists. And Gavin traveled with him everywhere he went. So he was real excited because he didn't know any other missionary church people besides us. Well, Gavin also then went on to King's Court, which is a place where you get to become a judge. Okay, they call him a barrister.
He's studying.
He's studying to be. Well, he got it now. So he's a judge, and he has the white wig and everything. But Gavin, when he was in college, somehow, you know how connections are, somebody who knew somebody who knew somebody talked to Gavin, and they talked to him about Bible Study Fellowship. Are you familiar with Bible Study Fellowship? Well, Gavin has started the first ever Bible Study Fellowship group in Ireland. Pray for Gavin, would you? Gavin is a great success story and such an encouragement to us, and he loves the Lord with all of his heart. But these people have made choices. They're not only doing life, they've made choices to improve their life. Third point, and I promise I'll wrap it up. Everyone finishes. All those runners, that usually participate in a marathon, they usually all finish. They don't finish at the same time. Maybe some drop out, some don't complete. But in life, everybody finishes. We're all going to finish someday. As we go through life, God gives us things that we don't necessarily like. And God has done that with me. You know, I never wanted kidney disease. If you don't know I have kidney disease, I do. My kidney function is 16%. I qualify to be on a transplant list, but my doctor in Fort Wayne says, you're stable. So I could send you to the IU Med Center in Indianapolis right now, but he said they won't take you. And I kind of looked at him dumbfounded, and basically, you ready for this? I have to get sicker. So please remember to pray for me. But we finish. Someday, all of our lives are going to finish. And for the majority of us, hopefully, we're going to receive that crown that's going to last forever. This passage says that only one gets the prize. Now, that doesn't seem too fair. Even in the Olympics, you get three prizes. Third place gets bronze, second place gets silver, and first place gets gold. Well, I think Paul again here, and I think I'm interpreting this correctly, he uses this as an illustration to motivate us to run our lives and to live our lives for Christ and to receive that crown that will last forever. I don't think it's just going to be one person who's going to go to heaven. Do you? No. Okay? But I think he wants to motivate us to live our lives in such a way as to get the prize. And when we run our lives, sometimes we have to do what Paul says, or the author of Hebrews says in chapter 12. It says, we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. We have to persevere. We have to keep going. We can't give up. There are days now when I wake up, it's just like, I can't do half the stuff I used to do, you know. What's the use? I could mope around and I could be depressed and I could just stay in bed all day long and I could just say, oh, woe is me, I have this problem. No way. No way. My doctor also said to me when I was stable, he says, go live your life. So you know what? I'm living my life. We've all heard the phrase, one day at a time. Well, we all take one day at a time. Everyone finishes. How we finish is everything. Our choices determine our outcome. You see, if we don't choose wisely and we don't give our lives to Christ, what does the Scriptures teach us? Our destiny is hell. But if we choose wisely and we live for Christ and we run the race with perseverance, our outcome is heaven. Somebody asked me the other day, what's heaven like? I said, I don't really know. But I sang them a little song. Heaven is a wonderful place filled with glory and grace. I'm going to look upon Jesus' face. I couldn't remember the words right here. But it's going to be great. And I'm praying, maybe the Galloways can set me straight today. I'm praying there are animals in heaven. Okay, I don't know. I don't know if that's true, but I hope so. I love animals. My wife would tell you that I love animals more than I love people. But so I'm thankful for all the things that Jesus is teaching me and continues to teach me. I'm thankful for being able to share in three different countries overseas with children and teenagers. I'm thankful that God is helping me to run the race. And I'm praying that He gives me perseverance to finish well. You all want to finish well?
Amen.
Amen. We all want to finish well. And we want to receive that crown that will last forever. So today in closing, you're going to sing a song. But just, if you've never started your race, if you've never started your race, and you're saying today, hey, I want to know more about starting that race, you can talk to your pastors. They'll be glad to show you how you can get off the starting blocks. Some of you that are just started a little bit, I'm sure that they could also help you with some ideas on how you can grow in your faith. I'm hoping that through the rest of my life that I'm able to help people to grow in their relationship with Christ and to run that race with perseverance, the race that we all call life. Let's pray together. Jesus, thank you for today. Thank you for the illustration that Paul gives us about running the race. And I pray, Lord, you'd be with each one of us, that you would help us to run with perseverance, that you would help us to make good choices, that you would help us to finish well. In Jesus' name.
Stand with us, please, for our closing song.